So if the whole world were watching, what story would you tell? That's a question that documentary filmmaker Jehan Nujeim wants you to answer. We know what stories that she likes to tell. She directed the documentary film Startup.com and Control Room. That was one about Al Jazeera. So it makes some sense that 2 years ago, when Jehan won something called the TED Prize, she received not only $100,000, she was awarded one wish. Literally, she could wish for anything and they'd try to make it come true. Her wish was for a global film festival. Now, you might be wondering, who is this TED guy? Will he give me a prize? TED's not a guy. TED's an acronym for the Invite-Only Conference About Technology, Entertainment, and Design. We'll get to more about TED in just a minute. First, Jehan's wish to bring the whole world together for one day through the medium of film. The wish will come true this May. It's being called Pangea Day. When I spoke to Jehan and TED curator Chris Anderson earlier, I asked her why the name Pangea.
Pangea is the name of the supercontinent 250 million years ago. The world was one continent, and all of the continents were connected before we split apart and before there was the drift. And so Pangea Day is a day where we're hoping that film brings people closer together, where people are able to stand in another person's shoes, see a film about somebody's life and a life and a story that they may not have heard before. And so that's where we're seeing Pangea Day as an effort to move towards peace to an understanding, and that really happens through conversation and storytelling. So, our deadline for submission is actually coming up. We've been asking people all around the world, film schools and filmmakers, film festivals, to send a call out for entries, asking if you had a few minutes of the world's attention, what story would you tell? And the deadline for submissions now is February 15th, so less than a month away. We're getting some exciting stuff in.
From what I understand, it's a little more than just a film festival. It's got a little bit of an extravaganza element to it. Explain to people what's actually going to happen on May 10th, Pangea Day.
So on May 10th, we're having a 4-hour program of music and speeches and film interspersed and
Where will this be?
everywhere.
Okay.
So you can go to pangeaday.org
Oh, you'll
and
experience it through the internet then.
you'll experience it through the internet, through broadcasters, and projected live in theaters and seen in bars around the world. So we're creating a meetup for the world. So if you go to pangeaday.org, you can sign on to host a screening, and it can be a public screening or a private screening. The idea is really to get as many different places around the world signed up to host. So we have people hosting a screening in a Bedouin camp outside Jordan, to a football stadium in the States, to private homes, and people will be tuning in.
When you realized that you were going to be able to make this wish, which wish is such a great word because it's got sort of magical qualities too. It's not like a request or an idea I have. My wish, what is it about your personal background that made a global film festival your wish?
I grew up between Cairo and the US. So I grew up with an American mother and an Egyptian, Syrian, Lebanese father, who were always had a challenge maybe at communicating with each other as I was growing up. So, maybe I'm still trying to fix this gap of understanding. But in all seriousness, I think that in the last 6 years or so, there's been an increase in dehumanization of the different sides between the Arab world, Arab Muslim world, and the US. And it's an attempt to put the humanity back into people's view of the other, because we are interconnected. The world is getting smaller. And so how do you give hope back to people that the other people on the other side of the world are people that you could be related to or that you want to work things out with? And so that's where this has really come from, because film has the power to do that. when you see a film and you're in a dark room and you're literally, you feel like you're in somebody else's life and in their head. And it's one of the most powerful mediums to be able to do that. And that's what I've seen with films that, from all places of the world. You have a very intimate understanding of a person when you've seen a film about them. And that can spark different ways of seeing the world, different ways of seeing people. And so that's what we're trying to do.
Can you give me a concrete example from work that you've done where someone has seen it, experienced it, and it's actually made a tangible change in the way they do their job or they interact with another person, rather than seeing a film and understanding it and sort of thinking about it and talking about it in a coffee shop?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't think that seeing film, I don't think that when you watch a film, you can tangibly measure the results of the effect that it has had on somebody. But I do think that it sets off sparks and different ideas about people and situations, and those people then influence others. A concrete example, there are concrete examples, though, and I've seen it in my own work. When I made Control Room, I filmed a couple of Jazeera reporters and NBC reporters, CNN, and a U.S. military press officer who was there to give the party line on the U.S.'s role in Iraq. And his main job was to talk to all of the Arab journalists. As he spoke to them, I think he started to get different perspectives and understandings of what was happening. And at one point, he had saw some images of U.S. soldiers who had been killed, and he described feeling sick to his stomach, being unable to eat. It was a very difficult experience. And then he realized that he had seen Iraqi civilians who had been killed, taken to the hospital, and realized that he didn't have that same intensity of feeling, and that really bothered him. We filmed him describing that and showing that empathy to an Arab audience. It wasn't as if after the Arab audience had seen it, they wanted to be his best friend, but there was a curiosity about him. They wanted to have a conversation with him. And this was at a time in Egypt when nobody wanted to speak to somebody in an American military uniform. But he started to be a real force of bridging gaps of understanding, and he was soon offered a job at Al Jazeera International. He took it, and he's continuing to do that in his life.
What would make you really happy on May 11th?
I think that if there are screenings all over the world and people are connected with others who are also interested in bridging gaps of understanding, and we're connecting people with organizations on the ground, and people really sign up to be a part of these organizations and help them in some way, that would be amazing. I think we're living in a world right now where it just feels so, all of the problems feel so big. What can one person do? So if we're able to provide an easy way, and people want to do something. I mean, I've seen this with films that I've shown around the world. When I showed Control Room around the world, people after the screening said, you know, well, what can we do? How can we affect our media? How can we get a better understanding of what's happening in the world? And I didn't have an answer. You know, I was sitting there, I'd shown them this film. They'd been inspired to make a change in their lives, and I didn't have an answer for them. So my hope is that on this day, we'll be able to provide links to organizations that are working on the ground, and people will follow through and make the world a better place.
Chris, you're the man who's going to have to help get this done. Any pressure?
It's exciting. I mean, this is a really big idea. It's an idea that you can imagine, you know, it's an idea that it's easy for someone to be cynical about as kind of this giant, kumbaya moment around the world of everyone gathering together and watching film. But the truth is, I really think there's something solid here. I don't think this is just a warm and fuzzy idea. I think we're really at a time in history when, for the first time, it's possible. We've got the technology and the ability to connect as a global village. The idea of global village is a cliche. It's out there. But we don't act as a global village yet in the way that we could. So, for example, traditionally a village might gather around a bonfire, tell stories, and bond in that way. And, you know, all the technology is in place for us to do that as a global village now through the incredible power of film and through the connectivity of the internet and global telecommunications and so on. I think this day, our dream is that it become the start of a process whereby people who want to think of themselves a little bit as global souls have the chance to connect up with other global souls who, you know, maybe in their neighborhood if they never knew existed, but on this day they'll meet them and get together and share this experience. I think it will feel like a moment in history because you'll have this sense, not only am I watching this powerful film right now that, you know, perhaps made by a filmmaker from another country, a short film, but I've also got the sense that millions of other people around the world are watching it as well.
We're speaking with Jehan Nujaim, who has a very big wish that will hopefully come true on May 10th, and Chris Anderson, curator of TED. Chris, can you explain what TED is?
Well, TED stands for Technology, Entertainment, Design, and it started off as a conference that just really focused on those three areas, which are actually three very different disciplines. And what we discovered over time was that that there was huge power in bringing together people from different disciplines that, unlike most conferences where you kind of go narrow and deep and focus on what you usually work on, at TED you listen to people who are in areas completely different from what you're doing. And it turns out that when you bring together people from a variety of different areas and skills and passions and hear them communicate what they're great at, it becomes really inspiring. We try and bring together the most interesting thought leaders or performers or musicians or artists or architects from any subject. We bring them together, let them communicate something special. And then in the last year or so, we've taken to releasing what they talk about on the internet. And it's actually been a really thrilling surprise to discover that these 18-minute lectures, if you like, or talks have attracted this substantial worldwide audience.
Jehan, if you had another wish granted by TED, what would it be? What would be wish number two?
Wish number two. Chris is ready for it.
Have a sip of water, Chris.
This one, we're hoping will be not just a one-off. The intention is that Pangaea Day becomes a regular event on the calendar. It seems to me that, in a world where the technology allows us to have this global campfire, why shouldn't we do it? Why shouldn't people around the world get together and really tell stories using this powerful technology? I actually think that Jehan's first wish will also be her second, third, fourth, and fifth, and that this thing will build into something that people really look forward to each year as really a powerful moment where they connect with the rest of humankind.
I've never been able to ask somebody this question. What's it like to have a wish granted?
It's been an amazing process, and to meet people in the TED community that are excited about coming together to make something happen which you would never imagine you could actually do has been an incredible process. And that's why we created something that anybody could be involved in, really. We've made a call out to film schools around the world and unknown filmmakers as well. If you had 5 minutes of the world's attention, what story would you tell? And on the other side, on the screening side, anybody can host a screening. So just go to host a screening on pangaeaday.org, and it's really creating a meetup for the world, and we'll see what happens.
Well, we'll have to have you back May 11th or May 12th. Find out how it all went. You promise to come back?
I promise to come back. Yeah.
Excellent. Jehan Nujaim, thank you so much for being here. Chris Anderson, thank you as well.
Thank you.
And a reminder, Pangaea Day is May 10th. You can submit a film through their website, pangaeaday.org. You spell that P-A-N-G-E-A.
That's it for the BPP this hour. Thanks for joining us. We are always online at npr.org/BryantPark.
This is the BPP from NPR News.